Well, welcome. You're at home with Jim and Joy, and you're an important part of our EWTN family. I'm delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We want to hear from you. You can email your questions to jimandjoy@ewtn.com, jimandjoy@ewtn.com, or check us out on Facebook. Joy will be joining us in future shows, couldn't make it today. Just keep her in your prayers and you'll see her blessed face really soon. Welcome to this show. And as you know, you can catch this show as a podcast at Podcast Central, ewtn.com/radio podcasts, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And so we're here today. It's great to be with you. One of the days in the octave of Christmas. It's so beautiful in our tradition that Christmas is an extension. It doesn't end on the 25th, but extends further and further. So we're in this octave where every day in this octave is like Christmas Day. So blessed Christmas to you. Blessed Christmas to you. And I love so much that it's extended because when I go to the YMCA, which I've been doing for years, I work out there, have my good Baptist, evangelical friends, Pentecostal friends, and I always say, you know, well, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. Like, what are you saying Merry Christmas for? Blessed Christmas. And I share with them about this extended time for Christmas, going through the Feast of the Epiphany or to the Baptism of Jesus, and how we dwell in Christmas, in the nativity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And most of them are really receptive about it. But as we stand on the threshold of a new year, there's no better time to look back at the year past and reflect on all that has happened. What did I do well? Where did I fall short? Did I put God and my family first? Or do I have room for improvement? The new year is an invitation for us to reflect with prayer, gratitude, and thoughtful discernment to guide us in setting new intentions. So our question for you today is this: how do you reflect on the past year and decide on resolutions for the new year? Or maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've not, you just kind of jump into the new year. And this is a time, a season that I just love so very, very much to reflect some. One philosopher said, the unexamined life is a life that's not worth living. An unexamined life is not a life that is worth living. So we want to do this together. It's the perfect time as we're so close to the new year. And I invite you to reflect and to set your face towards the future. I'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Well, welcome back. Our question for today is this: how do you reflect on the past year and decide on resolutions, commitments you want to make for the new year? How do you do that? And maybe just hearing that, you're saying, well, I've never done that, or I really don't do that. I live day by day and I'm setting my face towards a new year. So maybe already you've gotten a thought for yourself and how you're going to do this year. It's the perfect time. It's a beautiful time. We're in the octave of the nativity of our Lord and Savior. We've got our Christmas candle burning. Hopefully your Christmas tree, you know, is still up. And you just have a lot of beauty around you. And you've just come through Christmas. But we have this octave. Every day is a Christmas day. And so that's the time you want to reflect about the past year and get in touch with what happened in your life. Here's a quote from St. Augustine. You aspire to great things? Well, begin with the little ones. You aspire to great things? Begin with the little ones, St. Augustine. So maybe there are smaller things that you're thinking about for the new year. Maybe they're big things, but let's look at the year before. How do you do that? For me, it's my calendar. It's the calendar from that year, which this year that I'm still in 2025, every day of this year, and looking back. So it's been a whole year. Maybe you have a journal. So maybe it's not a calendar, maybe it's a journal, maybe it's something else. But it's so nice when I take the time and I make the time every year, right around this time, to be in the place where Joy and I pray every day, and there's beautiful things around me. It's very comfortable. And so then I'm looking at my calendar. How many things I've been a part of, how many things I've done, how many things I said I was going to do that I didn't do, all the various meetings I had that were so impactful, the people that were in play there, the holidays, planning for those are filled in with people that we might be inviting or where we were going, all of that, as well as the joys and other joys and sorrows, right? So we look back. And maybe I made a note on some of these days. I know I did this year when Joy lost her brother. He passed away this year. And wanting to get more in touch with him, his life, missing him, praying for him, for Robert Spatz Jr., Buddy Spatz. Who else passed away this year that it was so moving and touching for me? But maybe we forgot about the person already. And you look back and you see. And you just stop and you think, you sigh, you miss the physical presence of someone. Are you reflecting on this past year? Maybe it's illnesses that you've gone through, somebody you love that you prayed people through, some real disappointments of the year, maybe some falling outs with people, okay? So this is taking place. Now, I love that phrase that says, sanity is being in touch with your past but not living there. Are we even in touch? Are we living there too much? Being in touch with your past, living in the now, because this is reality right now. The past isn't, you know, a living reality for me right now, but how is it impacting my life positively or negatively? Get in touch with your past, live in the now, and then set your face towards the future. I think of that scripture. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good, not for evil. I want to give you a future that's full of hope. Hope, 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 hope for the future. But I don't live in the future. I don't live in the past. I have to live right now. But I need to be sane. And that's sanity. Insanity is living in the now like you're living in the past. Doing the same thing again and again and again. Things that aren't helpful. Having the same outcomes. It's insanity. Or living in the future, all the things, like you're out there in the future, all that's going to take place, or you're claiming by faith or something what's out there, but it's really not happening now. It may happen then. It may just be your wishes. Okay, so maybe this is a meditation for you. You're at the perfect time, this time of year, right before the new year. Make some space and time. If you don't, it's not going to happen. And I'm teaching you on this or sharing with you about this. And I'm always amazed as I'm getting to the end of the year, just how crowded out, you know, I'm making this reflection time. But Jesus always took his disciples. He took them away. He said, go away to a lonely place. Rest a while. Set your face towards prayer and contemplation. And so work through your past. So if you don't keep a calendar that you can look back on, say, this is one of my resolutions. You know, next year, I want to be able to reflect, at least to some degree, on what happened in my life, the impacts on my life. I'm going to start a journal. Maybe it's an everyday thing that would be more like a diary, or maybe it's just once a week or whatever. And you look back and say, oh, gosh, these are the things I committed myself to. Mother Angelica, you know, has given numerous teachings on making New Year's resolutions. And one of the warnings that she gives us is don't make so many resolutions. Maybe make a resolution or two. And you'll try and do that. Keep check with that and how you're doing on that. And maybe if you've conquered that, so to speak, then you can go on to some of the resolution during the course of the year. But one of the problems is we make 5, 10, 15, 20 resolutions. We go a month and we don't even know what the heck, you know, we made resolutions about. That's not what you want. So Mother is very wise in that. She advises just take one or two areas, really work on those. What areas are you going to work on? You know, some of them could just be, you know, your own spirituality. Spiritual goals for yourself. Maybe you want to go to Mass one more day out of the week. Maybe instead of going to confession once a year, you go twice a year, three times a year. Whatever you can put in there. You want to make them realistic. So many of us go from one thing to drastic things. Just start with the little things, as St. Augustine said. Do the little things. And you begin to develop a habit. That's what you want. Good habits. A pattern that takes place. So the whole area of spirituality, maybe your own health, you know, a lot of us say, well, I'm going to take off 20 pounds this year, 30 pounds this year. I don't know. Just try and get your diet the way it needs to be. You know what you need to do. Take it a little bit at a time. And here's an area that's important. Do I have any kind of accountability in my life? Who am I accountable to? Do I have a spiritual director? Do I have a brother or a sister that I can gather with periodically just to share my heart? In that weight area, I find that, you know, I'm always battling weight. And the best times when I lose weight is when I have an accountability partner. And so I say, I'm going to check in with you every week. I may not even tell him how much I weigh. But I'll say, you know, I'm trying to take off 10 pounds. I'm going to call you every week and let you know how I'm doing in this area. My accountability partner is an AA person. And so those AA people, Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, I mean, they know the importance of an accountability partner that you're checking in with. How are you doing? How's the temptation going? They know any day they can go off a cliff and possibly die with alcohol, with drugs, with various addictions, whatever it is. And so I know this guy, I call him, and he's just there, you know, and I can report to him. He gets accountability. He's saying, if this is an important area to you, your health and well-being and your weight in the midst of it, then just tell me, did you gain weight? Did you lose weight? What's going on? So accountability might not be that area, but it's other areas where we have to report into somebody that I seem to get the most growth. If it's just with me, I could just kind of deal with it or rationalize it away or whatever it might be. So maybe it's, I need accountability in this area or that area. And so the other area I was going to say, that may not be your wife or your husband. Maybe it shouldn't be your wife or your husband to speak with. That's another area. Are you praying with your spouse? And some of us have lost our spouses. Are you praying with another man, another woman that you really respect, that's strong in the Lord? That's so critical, just to pray with your spouse every day. And I was thinking the other day, and I told Joy, because I always think to myself, because I hear the question, what's the high point of your life? You know, what's the high point of your day? And really, I told Joy the other day, the high point of my day, every day, is praying with you. Because Joy's just, you know, she's the best Christian, Catholic human being I've ever known. But and I love praying with her. She's just a great prayer warrior, and I just love for us to be together. And we've had all sorts of prayers, you know, types of prayers that we pray, whether it's a study, we're reading the Magnificat, we're doing this, that. Other times, it's just a quick, short prayer. Or it's just saying, how can I pray for you today? I love you. What? And I don't try to fix things. She said, this is just what I want you to pray for me about. And I always lay hands on Joy at some point in this. And so it's important to, it can be very fast, although you want some degree of length, but sometimes it just can't be that lengthy. But it makes all the difference in the world. Are you praying with your spouse? Are you praying with your children? Because you have a place in your spouse's life that the Pope doesn't have, you know, that the greatest evangelists don't have, the prophets don't have, because you have responsibility as a spouse and you have power. Joy has a lot of power when she prays for me. So what are you doing in these areas? And track your progress. You know, it's, well, I guess the older you get, I guess you think about these things. Last year, one of the goals, Joy said, you know, I want to know where we're going to be buried. You know, come from New Jersey, we're down here for 40-something, what's going to happen this and that? And she said, I want to know, are we going to be cremated, or are we going to be, you know, full body in a casket? You need to think about these things. You don't want to be doing them when one of you dies and you're scrambling. Do you have a will? Do you need to update your will? These are all things that I'm saying to myself, you know, that I have to update my will. But last year it was like, where are we going to be buried? We finally decided where we're going to be buried, that we're going to be in Birmingham as best we know at this point. And it was an amazing thing because somebody came up to us in our church and said, you know, I was going to be buried at the cemetery, but now I'm going to be cremated. I'm going to be here at the church. And do you need a burial plot, the both of you? And Joy was saying, I want to know where I'm going to be buried. So I said, that's amazing that you should say this. He goes, well, I got two plots. I have six plots that we're not using because my family's going the way of cremation. We're going to be someplace else. We're not going to be in the cemetery. And I said, that's what Joy was praying for Christmas. Yeah, that, it sounds really weird, right? I mean, where are we going to be? And we got two free plots in the cemetery we wanted to be buried in. I mean, tell me about it. It's amazing. And so that's settled. Maybe this year it's going to be, well, what's the headstone going to look like? What's it going to say on it? We need to get these things. So I don't need to be morbid, but it's reality. So anyway, please take time. This is the time now. However you want to do that. The unexamined life is a life not worth living. The unexamined life often leads to insanity. You're not in touch with your past. The past continues to impinge upon your life. You don't know why you feel the way you feel because you didn't even reflect on what took place in your life and where this stuff is rooted in. And maybe there's a lot to rejoice about that was in that year. And then set your face towards the future in the Lord. The Lord has a good future. He wants a great future for you. He wants everlasting life for you. How can I love the Lord more fully and persevere to the end, that when I see him face to face, could be tomorrow, that you will not shrink back, but you'll be blessed to behold his face. So make some excellent New Year's resolutions. Don't overdo it. Ask the grace and mercy of God. Maybe you need not just resolutions, you need repentance and healing. And then set your face towards the future. So I'll be right back. There's plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back. To give us her reflection on the year past, we go to precious Joan Lewis there in Rome. Joan?
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy. I hope you had a blessed Christmas, and I'm wishing you a very happy, healthy, holy New Year. Now, the New Year is the time when a lot of people make resolutions. You try to get rid of the bad things you do and acquire some new habits and maybe help more people, but I generally tend at the end of a year to look back and kind of count my blessings. I really try and thank the Lord for all of those blessings, and so I've written something kind of expressing those thoughts. Dear Lord, how have you blessed me? Let me count the ways. My wonderful family, my beautiful faith, my ocean of friends, the friends throughout your great universe whom you have brought into my life. Does a day pass you do not bring some unique new person into my life? The newest member of my large and wonderful family, a friend maybe from another country, another wonderful priest or seminarian added to the many who have made my life and my faith so fulfilling. The list is very long. Does a day go by that I'm not enriched and blessed by some amazing event that you place on my path as a learning moment, a time of prayer, or perhaps a moment of silent thanksgiving? You blessed me at my baptism when you brought me into your beautiful Catholic Church and to a faith that I've always tried to be faithful to. You blessed me by enriching that faith over the years, allowing me to work for you every day, to bring your word, your teachings, and your truth to so many. My words, by comparison, are actually pretty insignificant, but they are heartfelt. I'm filled with both thanksgiving and joy as I write these words, and in my mind's eye overflows with images of each family member, of friends here in Rome and around the globe, of the magnificent events that daily fill my life. I sign most emails and letters with God bless, and under that I write Joan, but I read it as one thing, God bless Joan. And you have blessed me. Heartfelt thanks for that, and gratitude for the year just passed and the new one to come. Please allow me to continue to serve you and to bring your truth and your beauty and your love to so many people. God bless you. Happy New Year.
Joan, thanks so much. It's absolutely beautiful what you shared, that whole area of thankfulness. Oh, Lord, how can I thank you for the many blessings that you've given to me? I'd love to have with you your prayer that you prayed. Let us know where that's available. I'm sure that our family would want to read that and get some ideas of how they can write a prayer of thanksgiving. I don't think I've ever done that in terms of a prayer of thanksgiving for the year past. That's beautiful. We also have a comment from one of our viewers. It says, when I look back on the past year, I start in prayer. I ask the Holy Spirit to help me see my year with honesty and with mercy. I look for the blessings God has given me and the times where I resisted His grace. This naturally leads me to resolutions to improve my spiritual life and to grow in virtue. Stephen from New York. It's beautiful. Thank you for that counsel that you give. And yeah, I think when you do prayer and you're reflecting and places where we've resisted the grace of God, it's a resolution, and we should also remember repentance, the other R. Because if we're resisting things from the Lord, we want to repent. We want to turn away from them. Maybe we need to go to confession. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we look back at some of the most inspiring and best moments from the show in our first year in review show. And that's another thing that Joy and I get to do. We do over 100, I don't know, I forget, I know the numbers, like 200, 300 shows in the year, and you forget. So we look back on the shows and we say, oh, that person was so meaningful. Oh my, I was so touched by this. And then we pick several of those and we share them with you. There's so many things to be thankful for, but we forget them. Seem to remember the other things that take so much energy from us and that we are sad about or whatever it might be. So God bless you. May this new year coming up be the best of your life. Reflect, make your resolutions, repent, and turn your face to Jesus Christ in this new year. May it be the best year of your life. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.